And they get points, which then translates into dollars for techniques
for
like
activities.
Like, you know, flagging down a Johnny.
Yeah. Or how about a, you know, gas station? Because that's a difficult one.
Are you looking for a party?
They could lose points for like accidentally picking up an undercover cop. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
First of all, I have to say that I was hungover after our 100th podcast.
I think I was too. I know I was. What am I saying thing?
I don't even know how I got home. I just remember
we took a cab.
I did? Okay. There was lots of white wine.
You insisted. You're like, we're going.
Did I make you get in the cab?
And you made me get in the cab with you. And I'm like,
classic drunk me. Everybody in the cab.
And then
the cab went the wrong direction.
And then I went
to
give you money for my share of the ride.
They
you're
kick
like,
you
no,
out. Get out. Yeah. Yeah, that's me drunk.
Yeah, we had a great 100 episode celebration dinner.
Yeah, we had a group on that included at least 6 glasses of wine. And I think we doubled that.
Right. And then we got some free ones, too.
Yeah, because they weren't paying attention. Yeah. And then at a certain point in the evening, I looked up. I'm like, everyone's gone.
It was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
We started at 6.
6:30, right?
6 o'clock.
And we went to 1?
Yeah.
I thought it was 11. And I'm like, this place sucks. Everyone's cleared out of here at 11 o'clock.
The wait staff was like standing at the edge of the bar all like tapping their heel, their toes.
That's not the way I saw it.
Oh, no.
The way I saw it, they were like, bravo, ladies. They were so excited to see us. They were like, why are you guys leaving? I didn't realize it was 1. That's how drunk I was that I saw 11 because I thought, I was seeing double. Anyway, so that was, we had a great 100th celebration. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode whenever you hear that. All right, so what do you have for today? I'm curious.
Well, I'd like to start off with, you know what? We have an iTunes review.
Sweet. And people, if you write us an iTunes review, send us a tweet about it or send us an email because sometimes they don't show up.
Yeah, and if you're from a country other than the United States, definitely let us know because we won't see it. We have to change
even
the settings.
Even just Canada.
Even Canada.
Or from Norway. I noticed that we have a couple listeners from Norway and someone from Denmark.
Really?
Yeah. So please write us an email, please.
Well, this is an iTunes review, 5 stars. It says, hey, you know it, the D100 of comedy.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know.
Is that like the Indiana 500?
I'm the D100.
The D100.
By Thelonious Z.
Okay.
And this was sent on April 8th.
Nice.
Yeah, so we didn't see it till recently.
Weird. Okay, again, people, like I said, if you do a 5-star review, just let us know via email or via, you know, hey, you know it at Gmail or send us a tweet.
Yeah.
So we can be sure to look for it. I think iTunes is holding out on a brother. Go ahead. So what does Thelonious Z say?
The D100 of comedy. The last time I wrote something for the public, it was published in the May 1984 edition of Dragon Magazine.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of pewter. 5-sided die or whatever, 12-sided die.
So when I thank Jaquetta and Katie for Hey You Know It, the only guaranteed source of actual comedy in the universe.
Wow.
Ooh, it's straight from the funny bone. Closing in on 100 episodes, and I've heard them all. Wow.
Nice. A super fan, as Kate and Kathleen would say.
I like to hit them fresh on Mondays and repeat on Fridays to make sure I didn't miss what's up with Jason Bateman.
Wow. And that's the correct way to do it, people. It's a 2-time podcast.
I will say that though them celebrity discounts can be most controversial. I mean,
we've heard that before, too.
I mean, does Ray Liotta really beat out Michael Madsen?
Yes.
Apparently just as much as that fat guy from Sideways beats Steve Buscemi.
Not even a name check. Just the fat guy from Sideways. Aw.
Gonna crack a Mike's heart over my flip-flop and flip-flop can opener and listen right now. Remember those?
Yes.
It was in an early episode.
Yeah, this is a super fan.
Oh, and the holiday episodes. Priceless. I actually learned stuff. Very
nice.
Wow,
that is awesome. So, Thelonious Z, if you would like to collect your shot glass, you can go ahead and email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and we will send one right out to you. That's awesome. Hooray.
Yeah.
So I want to kick off with a, well, we've already kicked off, but I want to kick it back off.
Kick it off twice. Two times.
Yeah. With a little advice on advice.
Ooh, yeah. What do you have?
I have something here from AskMen.com.
Okay, well, advice on advice is the segment where we find advice that's, quite frankly, awful.
It stinks. It's unqualified, and we're going to improve upon it with our advice, hence.
Advice on advice.
Advice on advice. So, this is from AskMen.com, some sweet A on A.
Okay.
And it's signs you have a cheating wife.
Ooh.
Yeah. I put the N part on it with an apostrophe for myself.
Dropped your G?
Yeah. It's like a country song.
Okay.
So it says, by Heidi Muller. So it's most of the stuff on Ask Men, ironically, is by women. So you can ask a man, but a woman will respond, is the way that it goes. Isn't that just something? So they start off by talking about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's open marriage. Apparently she got busted with some other dude who they claim was Mark Anthony.
What?
Yeah. I don't care about this, but this is how they start the article off. So apparently they have an open marriage.
They do.
But, so what's the problem then?
Yeah, then why is she getting busted if it's open?
Anyway, right. I guess it was just open a little bit. Poor Will came home early from a shoot to find her with another man.
Well, that's the, you know what, you don't bring him home.
Yeah. No, you don't bring sand to the beach. You don't shit at work. That kind of thing.
You don't shit at work?
Isn't that? Oh, no, you don't shit where you eat.
You don't shit where, yeah. You shit at work all the time.
So you don't date people at work.
Right.
Yeah. Could he have known something was up?
You don't tip your pen in the company ink.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Tip or dip?
You don't.
We're all over the place.
You don't dip your pen in the company ink.
That's like a Mad Men thing. I like that.
Yeah.
So,
shit wherever you want, really.
Yeah, really. I mean, wherever you can. Signs you have a cheating wife. And these are very confusing. Right. One of the major signs you have a cheating wife is if you spot any changes in her behavior. So if anything changes at all, you know. But if she's always been a guy's girl and has a lot of male friends, don't get paranoid when you hear that she was at the movie with her friend Max. So number one, here are the five signs. She's no longer as needy.
As needy.
Yes. If she was never able to go shopping, exercise, or cross the street alone, suddenly she doesn't need your company. It may mean that somebody else is doing it.
Oh.
So if she's a needy person, always wants something from you, then all of a sudden one day she's like, oh, no,
I can go alone.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Really, don't.
Yeah. No.
Don't come with
myself.
Me.
I don't need a ride. I don't need you to pick me up either.
Yeah. Number two, this is kind of strange. She no longer gets angry.
She doesn't give an F
anymore.
She
doesn't care anymore.
She doesn't, yeah.
She used to get angry if you didn't want to meet her for lunch, but now it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
She doesn't even care anymore. It could be a good thing, but it should make you wonder.
It could be a good thing that she doesn't want to meet you for lunch?
That she doesn't care. That she's not getting upset anymore. So if your wife was getting upset all the time and then one day she's like, that's all right with you. Then party's over. Number three, she's being secretive.
Well, you know, that's annoying all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Some people are just secretive, though.
So it depends. Well, if they're being cagey and willfully obtuse.
Yeah. Like, if they're, where were you last Tuesday? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Who wants to know?
I'm asking.
That's my thing. Like, I think I've been spending so much time at home, and people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, who wants to know? You know, you work from home. It's too much. Number four, she places the focus on you. So where have you been?
Where have you been?
Exactly. You know, this could be conversation. She turns the table.
This could be a conversation?
Yes. What do you mean conversation?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
So if you ask her what she's doing, then she wants to know all about what you were
doing.
That's
right.
This could just be someone who's interested in what you're doing, though.
But if she talked about, like, it was a me story.
Oh, and then
all of a sudden she's like, Will.
Well, how about you? What were you doing? And then she showers you with pleasure.
Wait. No, I don't get that.
I don't know what that means.
Or maybe she's just, make sure, like, you get it on regular, like, a, you know, whatever the regular basis is. So then it just keeps suspicion at bay.
So let's go over these. So she's not needy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a dream wife, by the way. She doesn't get angry.
Yeah.
She's being secretive and or quiet. She places the focus on you and she showers you with pleasure. Boom. She's cheating.
Yeah. She's not a good wife.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's planning a surprise party.
It could be.
It could
be. And it could be very elaborate, like the game.
Yes. Yep. Like the game. So this is, I think this advice is not very good. I think you should look, the important thing is, just look for people being sneaky.
Yeah.
Like, you can always tell when someone's trying to hide stuff, but also look for, like, condoms.
Yeah, like something,
you know,
different.
Like a smell.
And like the song goes, you know, on the windowsill, there's a pack of cigarettes. Not my brand, you understand.
Yes. I mean, those are things you have to look out for.
Yeah.
I personally don't know how people have the time or energy to cheat. That's why Jada got caught in her own bed.
It's different.
Too
it's
lazy.
Like, if you've ever had somebody cheat on you, I've had. Have you?
Not that I've known about. I mean, I'm sure I have, but I've never like caught them in that.
It's like they're just a little bit weirder. Everything is a little bit off.
Like 10% off?
Yeah.
So what were they doing? Or you just sensed something with your spidey sense?
I sensed something. Like something first was like distracting them. Something was on their mind. Like, you know, this distraction.
With some other woman.
Yeah, basically. Yes. And then weird, like random walks. After work.
Like, I'll be right back.
Like, oh, I'm going for a walk. And then would, like, dress up to go on the walk.
Well, this is not... I mean, do they have flowers, too? Do they ask, yeah, you got some extra condoms and lube? I'm just going for a walk.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, how... Like, were you like, look, buddy?
I was like, look, just...
That panty rose ain't for me, is it?
Yeah.
That's so bizarre. I don't know. I mean, at the point in my life when I could have been cheated on by somebody, I probably wasn't paying attention at all. So I wouldn't have known. That's interesting, though.
Yeah, it's just, everything is a little bit strange. So it's not just any one thing.
Because you know what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah, but and they've got a whole other life suddenly that you are trying to keep secret. So you've got to, you're adjusting.
You're like,
every
let me throw
aspect.
Katie off by asking about her hair. I know she likes her hair.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what the hell? You don't give a shit about my hair. What's going on? You're screwing
what about
Sue.
You?
What about your hair? So this is an ask men. I would say just... I don't know, maybe men don't have the same kind of perception that women do, but I think most people know when they're getting cheated on, I would hope.
Well, yeah, I think everyone, well, these are the things. You look at the signs and then you try to explain them away.
But she no longer gets angry. Maybe you just stop being a dick. And it's working.
People don't change.
People don't change. Yeah. You're right. So that's my askmen.com advice. Signs you have a cheating wife. They go on later to say, what can you do about it? But we don't need to get into that.
No.
Run.
No, but I think that's not so great.
No, she showers you with pleasure.
Yeah, so anything that's positive.
So you usually get a beige on Thursday, but now it's happening twice a week.
Oh.
And it's with vigor. Guess what? Your wife's cheating.
She's asking about you.
Yeah, she's doing it.
And she's thinking about
she's
you.
She's jotting down a note about how's
nice.
Work.
Okay. What a monster.
Yes. Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
Gather around, listeners.
Ooh, so this is my favorite segment. This is Tales from Dirt Campfire, where Katie or I bring in either an urban legend or a country legend. It could be supernatural, paranormal, or just straight up weird. We don't know. And we talk about it. So Katie's going to do a tale from their campfire.
Yes. So gather around, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is...
Don't hold out.
The following account is a true encounter.
Of course.
All right.
It wouldn't be a tale from their campfire if it weren't.
All right. So somebody wrote this and put it on godsandmonsters.com.
Okay.
My name is Victor.
Why'd you do it like that? Did he say he was from Hungary?
Well,
my name is Victor.
And it's the way it's spelled.
Okay.
And then also you'll
with
hear.
With a K?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have had many encounters with the supernatural throughout my life. From childhood sightings to ghosts in London hotel rooms.
Very specific.
What's he doing as a kid, like in the hotel rooms in London?
Oh, I think he meant from his childhood, that's a starting point, to a more recent.
Okay.
Maybe he was an urchin. Making a living as a small bellhop in the hotels of London.
And he would go up in the dumb waiters and bring out the food.
Yeah. Right. Victor, bring the food. Okay.
I would share them all if I had the time. Yet for the sake of this
really? Because it's the internet. You can be as verbose as you want.
Yeah, go on. For the sake of this post, I shall share one that stands out to me as perhaps the most bizarre in terms of what I actually saw with my eyes.
This person is definitely from Eastern Europe because they have not gotten to the point yet. It's 400 words into the damn post and nothing's happened. Where's the monsters, Victor?
It was the fall of 2007.
Okay. I remember it well.
I was in a small town.
It's a John Cougar Mellencamp song.
No, it's an Ernest Hemingway story, basically. I was in a small town in mid-Michigan, a town called Charlotte.
Oh, God.
About 20 minutes from the state capital of Lansing.
Great.
About a two-hour drive from Detroit.
Are you kidding me? When is the... Page 18, a monster shows up. This is
and
like... This is like a sci-fi TV original where you're like, can we just get it at the beginning? No, it's slow. It's like, if I had the time, really? Oh my God.
All right.
I'm sorry. I can't wait to find out is it worth it, this monster? Okay. Yes. Pull it together.
All right.
These are scary tales from the campfire.
3.5 hours from Chicago.
How far is it from Detroit?
2 hours.
Okay.
All right. It was a dark night. A beautifully dark.
Stormy? Was it a dark and stormy night? This guy is a plagiarist.
He's, awful.
And he's into topography again, the cartography.
Oh. The wind had been at it all night.
Are you going to be okay? I'm now dying to know what this thing is. This shit better not be some chupacabra or like, you know, just right. Like a shadow people. This is better blow my mind. Now that we know where we are in the story.
And then the wind is, all right. The wind has been at it, and I, being a nocturnal creature, was laying in the spare bedroom in the house I shared with my grandma.
Mm-hmm. Is he the monster?
No. That's it. No. Okay. I was laying in bed enjoying the ambiance of the evening.
Wow. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the campfire's burned out. I gotta go get some more wood. I'll be right back.
While texting my then-girlfriend who lived in Chicago at the time, mm-hmm. It was late.
Where was she from originally, though, is the question. And how far is that from Lansing? Good Lord.
It was late. How late? I cannot quite recall.
How late was it?
Somewhere between 11 and 3.
Okay.
All right. The room in which I was laying and texting, I had suffered very bad dreams in.
Okay.
All right. After sending a text, I set my phone down on my chest and closed my eyes for probably about a minute as I waited for the reply.
Please tell me the monster's coming. And please, if it comes through a text, I'm out. I'm shutting it down.
It was as I was lying there with my eyes closed that the hair on my body stood on end. I suddenly had the feeling that something had entered the room.
Mm-hmm.
I opened my eyes and looked toward the bedroom door.
It was an editor. Jesus.
I opened my eyes and looked toward the bedroom door. I was shocked to see that it had been opened about 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it had been closed.
You know he wasn't just going to be like a little bit. Like it was a jar, slightly.
Right.
He's got to measure it out. Dick.
Whereas it had been closed moments before, I immediately ignored my sense that something unnatural had entered the room and just brushed it off as perhaps one of our cats that pushed its way in.
Something very small and unnatural.
This idea lasted until my gaze scanned from the doorway to the other side of the room at the foot of my bed.
Fucking H.P. Lovecraft, this guy.
What I saw, I have no explanation for and have never seen since. Standing there at the foot of my bed was a giant apparition. Mind you, the room was dark, yet I could still make it out clearly enough. His head was as tall as the ceiling, which was 8 feet.
Excuse me? Where was the body?
Its body was as wide as a refrigerator. It appeared to be wearing some kind of nightgown, which may have been common for men to wear in bygone days.
Mm-hmm. 8 foot head men.
Its head was bald and whitish gray. Its ears were pointed. The closest comparison I could make is that it looked like Nosferatu. Ooh.
Oh.
I almost got the impression that it didn't realize I could see it until I screamed.
Was it like, what? Oh, snap. Yo, he can see us.
Which I did do at the shock of seeing this thing. I screamed for my grandma. Whereupon, it gradually whispered and faded away like a predator into the jungle.
Excuse me? What did it say?
He doesn't say what it said.
Oh, it was low. It was a whisper.
It was a whisper. Very creepy. Very creepy. But I never seen anything like this. Anyway, that's my ghost story. I have many more experiences if anyone would care to hear about them.
No, we don't, sir. Good day. What? What? That is the weird. Okay, right. So it's eight. The head is 8 feet
no,
tall.
No, its head. Its head was as tall as the ceiling, which was 8 feet. He's saying the ceiling, like the height of the room, is 8 feet.
Yeah, and the head was 8 feet.
No, the head was as tall as the ceiling.
Like, okay.
It went all the way up to the ceiling.
Okay, and then the refrigerator-like body took up the rest of the space.
Right.
What?
Right.
Well, what is it?
Well. Well, nobody says, well, there's some people who reply and say, Watch your back. They cannot be killed by fire. Try a sledgehammer, but no small weapons and definitely no guns.
What? So this someone else has had experience with this exact same thing. This guy really can't even explain. Yeah. But they know a hammer will take care of it.
Yeah. And the other one says it's an ogre. It could be an ogre or a troll. Do you live near any cave systems?
It's like a Dwight Schrute type of character out there. Do you live near a cave system? That is awful. What I don't like about this story, like the monster part is cool, but bring him at the top.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, bring it in early when people are still awake and paying attention.
So watch out.
Yeah. What is the monster called?
He didn't name it. He just, some people are saying that they think it's an ogre. That's all.
I wonder what that it is. Giant apparition. Nice. I like it. And that's our tale from the campfire. So I have a reality TV show here that is going to be coming out soon. It's called Top Hooker.
What?
Exactly.
No.
Top Hooker.
No, no, no.
An unscripted competition that will blow your mind. Top Hooker is going to take 10 competitors through a series of mind-blowing challenges to determine who is the best in the business. And only one can come out on top. The prize is $30,000. Top Hooker is about people who fish.
Oh.
But they have, so they're going to be taking 10, I can't say fishermen, because they have a woman here with a crossbow. I don't know what that's all about.
Oh, yeah. That's
I've done
be
some
awesome.
Fishing
it's
in my
spear
day.
Spear fishing. Kabam.
No, crossbow. She's going to shoot the fish.
That's awesome.
So they're going to have 10 people competing for a prize. They're going to have prizes like, obviously, shooting the fish, capturing a fish using only their mouth. Somehow zip line fishing. I don't know what that is. I guess you start at the top of the zip line, and then you, when you get to the water, you just grab some fish.
Just grab with your
hands.
Just
Gollum it.
Scoop it out. Yes. Yeah.
Gollum style.
I wonder if you could have any other tools to do
I don't
that.
Know. And it says Top Hooker will be hosted by blue collar comedy veteran Reno Collier, which sounds like a redneck drag queen to me.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on Animal Planet. I don't know how exciting
no,
that's going to be.
You had me. You had me until $30,000.
Yeah.
I was like, nobody's going to compete for that.
No one's going to hook that well.
Yeah.
I thought at first when I saw Top Hooker, I'm like, oh, it's going to be like gigolos.
It's like, how are they going to score them?
I don't know. That's a more interesting
show. If they were real
show.
Hookers, yeah.
Yeah, they were, so they're real hookers, and they got one night to make $15,000, and
right.
they got to hook their way to the top.
Right. And you
they
got to
catch a
to
big
do,
fish.
And they get points, which then translates into dollars for technique.
For certain
like,
activities.
Like, you know, flagging down a Johnny.
Yeah. Or how about, gas station? Because that's a difficult one.
Yeah. And are you looking for a party?
Yeah. Does that work? You know? They could lose points for like accidentally picking up an undercover cop.
Right. I think we got all our things from our points from Pretty Woman.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you get Robert Gere to buy you a bunch of clothing in one night?
Yeah.
Is the kind
right.
of thing.
That's going to be another. Yeah.
But it's like Top Hooker. So the more research I did, the more they got everybody with this. Like people are all excited and they look at it like it's about fucking fishing. What do you think it's going to be, people? It's on Animal Planet.
Oh, I didn't
Top
get that.
Hooker on Animal Planet had better not be about pros. I think that's illegal.
Pros?
Yeah. Pros. That's what they call it on the streets.
Right.
Pros.
I hope the two of you are not concerned about this.
I have a unpopular science
awesome.
And mechanics.
So unpopular science and mechanics. Basically, Katie and I are both freaked out by technology and the coming robo-apocalypse. So we like to take our unscientific minds and try to wrap them some way around scientific advances. So what do you have for today?
I have here, robot learns to gently touch objects.
Ew. Already.
All right, so not...
What?
Yeah.
No. Now I'm going to be getting molested. I just imagine a robot grabbing a boob. That's all.
Yeah. Humans are able to stick their arms into cluttered areas like a refrigerator or reach across the table set for dinner without knocking anything over.
Oh, I'm so sure that's what they were working on, too.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure that's a big problem.
Yeah, robots aren't good for that. In fact, until now, they did not design robots to touch anything. Except the object for which they're reaching. So it's like, I want that water, that bottle of water, and they'll knock over your computer.
Oh, to get to it.
Yeah.
See, this is why people are going to get killed, because that bottle of water is going to be right behind me, and they're going to reach right through
right
me.
Through your chest cavity.
Yeah, to grab a Dasani.
Yeah.
For some bizarre reason.
However, a robotic arm developed by the whoever, we don't care.
Yeah.
It's in Georgia.
Scientists at Science U.
Has sensors that cover the entire arm, helping it touch other objects gently while reaching for a specific item. And it gives the robot a more effective and realistic method for dealing with real-world circumstances.
Yeah, do you see why we get freaked out by this stuff? I don't like the idea of a robot gingerly fingering anything.
Yeah. And so it's like they have this guy's picture.
Mm-hmm. Is he a freak? He's one of these upskirt guys.
He's lying in a bed, but he's got it. So the robot is pulling the blanket gingerly up to his neck, and he's like smiling this smile that isn't inappropriate for someone just tucking you in.
Yeah, what's going on? And there are two other guys in the background who are like, yeah, Ian, get it. Ew.
Yeah, because you know that something else is going on.
This is why more women need to get into scientists. Ladies, the next time you feel a gentle, on the tush area, you look back, it could be some nasty old robot.
It could be. Covered in sensors.
Yeah.
Learning how to touch grab gently. Ass. And then you'd be like, stop it. And they're like, it's for science.
Yeah. Let it go. Let it ride.
Yeah.
Don't be such a bitch. Loosen up.
So,
ew. Yeah. Robot learns to gently touch objects. Now, what other objects besides this loser?
Well, besides the loser. Well, the thing is, here is the loftier part
of it. Oh, no. I know what they're doing, that robot. Mm-mm.
No, it's a...
HJs.
Of course, that's where it's going to go.
It's not going to go to, like, helping people who cannot help themselves.
Well, they're going
to
get their research money by saying, it can reach through artificial foliage and piles of cinder blocks to search and rescue on search and rescue missions.
You know what? I've read at least four articles this week where people have developed various things. They're supposed to be looking for people in, in a building that something has happened and they can't get to them. There was a snake. That was one.
Right.
That could also squeeze you to death once you get found. Like, I'm just sketched out by this altogether.
Right. And it's that, they could help paraplegics. You know,
they're not going to.
It's going to be.
Ladies, watch out. We're going to have to be wearing iron bras in the future. Gently touch that.
Thank you. Great.
Wow. That's crazy. I have another little kind of a scientific thing here. It's a little beer news, but it's also a little science. Also a little, hey, you didn't know it, because this is kind of interesting to me. University of Washington climate scientists, which is like climatologists, right? But there's climate scientists, have provided new insight. They have discovered that a beer koozie actually keeps beer colder. They're saying koozie here.
Okay. Maybe it's a different.
K-O-O-Z-I-E. Koozie. Okay. What's a beer cozy?
It's the thing that keeps beer cold. It's like
a koozie. Oh, I didn't know it was called a cozy as well.
Okay, well
they've discovered here that it, it keeps beer cold.
So but you didn't know it.
You could ask any construction worker, someone who goes to the beach, a small child, anyone. It turns out that in sultry weather, condensation on the outside of a canned beverage doesn't just make it slippery. Those little drops provide more heat than the surrounding air, meaning that your drink would warm more than twice as much in humid weather as in dry heat. I think we're all aware of that.
No, I think
and that's why the koozie is at the beach and not in the desert. I mean, really? So it says here, in typical summer weather in New Orleans, and they tested this. Mm-hmm. They tested this in a bunch of different locations because it's very scientific. Heat released by condensation warms the drink by 6 degrees Fahrenheit in 5 minutes. And I bet you in New Orleans, anybody in a bar could tell you that.
No kidding. Right.
Drink fast.
So it's they're letting you know that the cozy or the koozie will keep it.
Yeah, that will keep your drink cold. Well, that's what they figured out. They started investigating this a couple of years ago when it came
back in 2008.
Yeah, and it was just a theory, but then they decided they wanted to put it in the practice. So the initial test was in this dude's basement bathroom using a space heater and a hot shower. And a beer. I'm looking at a beer here, like on a scale.
So who? I hope there wasn't a lot of money in this.
Yeah, I don't know. And then they also tried it in the guy's beachside hometown in Wilmington, North Carolina. And they also did it in Seattle on a dry day.
And therefore
they came up with this.
They have the results that can be replicated.
Yeah. So it says it's a phenomena at work, So they researched this during thunderstorms. Like, they just kept drinking beers and seeing how hot or cold they were.
And the grant money came pouring in.
Yeah, and if you want to contact this guy, you actually put a phone number on there.
Ooh.
I might call him up and see if he's got a cold one going.
Right.
What in the Sam Hill?
Hey, you didn't know it.
Yeah. Cozies or koozies keep your beer cold.
And people were going for them to keep their hands dry?
I guess. I can't believe that.
I can't believe that either.
I can't believe it at all. So, hey, you didn't know
it? Very nice.
Koozie keeps a beer cold. Beer news.
Beer news.
Oh. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I was just searching around and I saw this thing called divorcehotel.com.
What?
Divorce Hotel is the authority in the field of divorce, and CNN Travel says it's one of the best divorce destinations in the world.
Wait a minute. You go there to get a divorce?
You go there to get divorced.
Oh, I thought it was more like a vacation, like oh, you know, if you're divorced, like Club Med.
No. This is you go there to get divorced. It says that they believe divorce should be a positive experience and a new start. They take care of everything. You can go there with your partner or without, somehow. You can do a 5-star divorce, or you could just do a quickie.
Wait a minute. Why
they'll even send someone to your house if you can't get there.
If you're getting a divorce, why are you dishing out more money to do it?
Isn't
the thing you want to spend as little as possible to get the help?
Apparently, because people used to go to the DR for divorces. I don't know if you remember this. When I first moved to New York, there used to be signs that would like, go to the DR. It was like $300.
Really?
And you could get a divorce. And they would put together a package for you. So like air, food, you know, the lodging and all that, plus the divorce.
Wow.
Now, the U.S. shut that down. Probably divorce lawyers shut it down.
Probably. I mean, yeah, somebody.
So this has popped up. They will do a traditional divorce. If you want a divorce in your own town or province, we'll do a simple one. They've got, you know, tons of lawyers that can come right to your house and do it. Or you can come to Divorce Hotel.
Where's the Divorce Hotel?
Divorce Hotel is in the Netherlands.
Oh.
Oh, wait. They cooperate with various hotels in the Netherlands. So it's not like you're going to one resort and everyone there's breaking up. Because you know that's like a hotbed of
That's what I thought
activity.
It was. That would even be better.
Divorce resort.
Divorce resort.
It's like the Love Boat, but divorce boat.
But I like divorce resort.
Divorce resort.
We're going to write that.
Divorce resort. The screenplay. That's copywritten, people, so don't even go there. We're lawyered up. So this is 2,500 euro, including the tax, for a divorce.
And the whole trip and everything else?
Yeah, you get the hotel. You get the divorce. That's not bad.
What if, you know, your spouse, soon to be ex, is not cooperating? I mean, it drags it out, I guess.
Maybe you could trick your partner into going to this place, and then when you get there, it's like, surprise, bitch. We're getting a divorce.
Wow.
How crazy is that? So you could do a 5-star divorce with or without your partner, or they can give you a low hourly rate. So like, you just check in for the day, boom, and a couple hours of divorce. But what's crazy to me, it says CNN says it's the best divorce destination. Are there others?
CNN says that?
Yes. Is there a crowded field? Or like, is everybody offering this? Or like B&Bs doing it?
I don't know.
Is there campgrounds?
We need to revisit this.
Yeah. Divorcehotel.com. If anyone knows of any divorce destinations.
Or happy hour. Why wouldn't it just be a divorce happy hour? And have lawyers sitting at tables at a bar. Like, and then you could just go up to a table and you start drinking and they have wings off to the side. And you could just get a plate of wings and some cheese.
I think I like that idea, but this is for the 5-star divorce crowd.
Yeah, I'm just saying like other
maybe
kinds
some camembert and maybe tasteful white wine.
Right, but I'm just saying like you know for those of us who really don't need to travel to the destination,
who just want the divorce and who like some wings.
Yeah,
oh, that's not bad. Maybe we should do a Hey You Know What divorce.
Yep,
it's up on the podcast.
Right
at the beginning of the hour, you're married. A few segments in, it's already over.
It's over.
The party's over.
And once you listen to the whole episode, you're divorced.
Yes. That's it. We now pronounce you divorced.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Right.
This segment is called Discount Celebrity. We haven't had it in such a long time.
I
forgot what it was. This segment is called Discount Celebrity. And in Discount Celebrity, you know, we know times are tight.
Yes.
For Hollywood, for everybody. And sometimes you want a quality act and you just can't get them. You don't have the money to do it.
Yeah,
you want
right.
to bring a film in under budget, on time. You know, you don't want it to be Ishtar. You don't want to go nuts with it.
So if you can't afford your A-lister, Hey You Know It provides a service where we'll give you
the B, C, D, E, F, or Billy Zane.
Yeah.
And in this, today, we have a special one from a fan.
Ashley C. wrote us and said, Paul Rudd, and then the discount she gave us, which I'll break down for you. She said, Paul's the A-lister, and the other one is the B+.
Ooh.
When I get a computer, I'll send the links to the info.
Okay.
I already got them confused growing up, but I just finished watching Drive Me Crazy, and I had an email before I forgot.
Okay.
Love you, ladies.
Yay.
Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah. So, Ashley, I mean, you did send the links. Thank you very much. Also, I looked them up, too.
Okay.
And I like Paul Rudd.
I do, too.
You know Paul Rudd.
Sometimes.
He was in Anchorman, Legend of Ron Burgundy. He was in 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up.
Two Days.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Our Idiot Brother, mm-hmm. Dinner with Schmucks. I mean, a lot of these
And he's
movies.
In that movie with Tina Fey that nobody went to see. Exactly.
Acceptance. Or,
acceptance, yeah.
Yeah. So his name...
Or Dismissal. No one saw it.
His full name is Paul Stephen Rudd.
Mm-hmm.
He was born April 6th, 1969, in Passaic, New Jersey.
Really? Yeah. A young man and a Jerseyite. What?
His nickname is Fred. I don't know.
Okay.
And then his height is 5'10", so you know what that means.
Yeah, 5'7".
5'8".
5'8"? Yeah. All right. You're generous. Your generosity will be known throughout the ages.
His spouse is, inch. His wife is named Julie Yeager, and they have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
His trademark is low-key, sardonic sense of humor, and deadpan delivery.
Oh, he has a smirk, too.
He does. And you could also, the movie Clueless he was in, I think that was his breakout role.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he and Alicia Silverstone.
Remember her?
So Paul Rudd traveled with his family during his early years and because of his father's airline job.
Okay. That's weird. I didn't know people took their families with them, maybe back in the day.
Yeah, I guess so. Back in the early 70s.
Well, I guess you couldn't let your husband go back then because of all the hot steward action. Yeah.
Remember, we talked about that. Yeah. Like stewardesses
were
the
hot to trot.
Young, beautiful ladies.
Yeah.
So anyway, Paul went to the University of Kansas in Lawrence, majoring in theater.
That's a tough road to hoe.
He realized he wasn't very overly academic. So turning his native charm and charisma.
Really? What's native charm?
Native charm and charisma.
What is native charm?
I don't know. Native charm and charisma he applied to and was accepted to at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Los Angeles. But his native charm.
I don't think you could not get into that school. Isn't that one of those where you just gotta show up?
Just
like
go.
New York Film Academy, where you pay and they're like, you're in.
All right,
look
so
at this.
He wasn't into.
So he's from New Jersey and he went to University of Kansas?
Yeah, he was all over the place.
That's weird.
Yeah. He must have been unhappy with that.
Yeah.
I wonder.
People in Kansas don't go to University of Kansas.
Yeah. His favorite music is that of Tom Waits.
Okay. So he's a real up guy.
He was in Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, but he was disappointed because he thought it would be, like, a higher suspense film, and it wasn't.
It wasn't the quality. It wasn't The Shining he thought it was going
to
be. Yeah.
He used to be a DJ at bar mitzvahs.
Wow. I have to say, weddings, bar mitzvahs, I can't even imagine what it would be like to DJ those things.
No.
You don't get to play what you want.
No.
You can't play Baby Got Back.
No.
You got to play, you know, something by the...
Whatever.
The Black Eyed
Peas. The Beavers.
The Beavers. On the way here, I saw a perfume that Justin Bieber's girlfriend. That's the name of the perfume. No. Why the hell would you want that? Why would you want to smell like Justin Bieber's girlfriend?
Ooh, you smell like Justin Bieber's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, he was Phoebe Buffay's boyfriend on Friends, and then he was with Jennifer Aniston in the movie The Object of My Affection.
Okay. Was Phoebe the blonde one?
Yeah.
Okay. Her last name was Buffay?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then
that's white exploitation. I disagree with that.
He's in all the Judd Apatow movies.
Mm-hmm.
I Love You, Man. He's with Jason Segel.
Yeah.
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. Year One. Oh, like all the, everything. And he says, theater is the most enriching and thrilling thing to do as an actor. After
Isn't
he does
on,
all these movies.
He's on Broadway now in something. With a bunch of heavy hitters. Like, his name is, like, stuck at the bottom.
Yeah, right.
It's like Kevin Spacey and Kevin Kline and Al Pacino and Paul Rudd.
Yeah, but he also says, even after doing all these movies, he says, I can and do walk the street. No one bothers me or anything because most people wouldn't know who I am.
Because you look like everybody.
He looks like everybody, right.
You're a 5'7 guy with a little bit of curly hair on the top. It's dark.
Yeah, that's all.
That's it.
It's 5'8". Even
oh,
though,
sorry.
He says he's 5'10".
Yes. So. We keep knocking him down a peg.
That's it. Yeah, it's just a list of movies. And he says, I don't consider myself a comedian. Because I
neither
really,
do I.
Because I really don't concern myself too much with jokes.
Okay.
I think I've dealt with any kind of trauma in my life with humor, and I was a fan of comedians and comedy growing up and still am.
Is there anyone who just hates comedians? Who's like, screw comedy?
I don't think so.
I'd like to meet that person. I'd be curious.
Yeah. I says he's just like, you know, he did his thing. And...
Regular guy, made 20, 30 films.
Yeah, native charm.
Native charm.
Got him into where
went
he
went to school for a hot minute in the cornfield.
Right.
Broke out.
That's it.
And then
Jersey
went to
boy.
Lotta or whatever. Okay, cool. So that's
cool
our
run.
A-lister.
And then we've got as the B-minus
okay.
is Adrian Greer. Now, Adrian Greer is from the movie, the show Entourage. That's what he's basically known for.
Okay.
And he also played, he was in The Devil Wears Prada. He was Anne Hathaway's boyfriend.
Okay. I remember what he looks like. I did not see the film. And I think I watched Entourage for like, oh, that guy? Mm-hmm. He looks like he needs a wash. And he looks like he's been wearing a trucker hat all the time. What's with his hair?
That's the thing. It's funny because Ashley was saying, you know, our listener, Ashley.
I see where she's going with this, though.
Like, Adrian Greer has that, and Paul Rudd have the same kind of hair, but Adrian's is, like, thicker and bigger and bushier.
Yeah, well, he's younger.
He's a little younger.
And Paul Rudd's probably going to be wearing a piece in about 5 to 10 years, too. Little Ted Danson action. Hair in a can.
Adrian Greer, he was born July 10th, 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 years younger.
Wow.
Born in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
These guys are all trying to fool people with their age, though. Everybody is, like, 40 now and still fronting hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's your point to play these, like, young, you know.
Yeah, and he was born in Santa Fe, but he was raised in New York, and he claims to be European and Apache descent and calls himself a Native American white boy.
Oh, my God. Every white person. You're the only white person I've ever met who has not claimed to be a part Native American, and that's why I respect you.
Thank you.
Everybody says they're part Native American. They were gone before most people even got here. What are you talking about?
Well, you know what? I guess people say that to him all the time because his Native American ancestry is at 8.44%.
Hmm?
And his direct maternal Native American descent was confirmed by his mitochondrial halogroup, C12B.
Oh, God.
So great. He's got proof because he knew somebody was going to say something about
it. They were going to ask about it. Great.
So he's bona fide.
So they give. I mean, how do Native Americans feel about 8%? Is that enough?
I don't know.
All right. If you're a Native American and you're out here, let us know. I'm actually curious about that because I hear people say that they're Native American all the time, and it's got to be annoying for Native Americans.
I bet.
You know, no one's tried to say they're black for the obvious reasons. But I did know one person in college who looked like you and was saying they were black, and
really?
We found out that a friend of ours went to visit her house. She said not even the dog was black.
Yeah. Well,
just go on with it.
Why not?
If she'd had that mitochondrial DNA.
And the certificate to prove it.
Then she might have gotten a scholarship.
Yeah. This guy, Adrian, his parents met in a commune in the 70s, and they were never married, and he never met his father. And then he did a documentary on finding his father.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he is black. So what is he doing now?
Anything? He bought $1 million home in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Had it remodeled, and he
installed it. So this is like a two-bed?
Solar panels. You know, he said he grew up with a lot of greenery and that while he was in college, he was like a bango plane hippie.
Ew.
In college.
Yeah, Brooklyn's a good place for you.
Yeah. Please stay in
Brooklyn.
So he was in Drive Me Crazy, mm-hmm. Celebrities, Cecil B. Demented, Harvard Man, Artificial Intelligence,
mm-hmm.
Heart's War, and then there's a new one coming out this year, Goodbye World.
Okay.
All right. He's 6 feet tall.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So that's something.
1.83 meters.
That hasn't helped him much, but sure.
He can play the piano, guitar, and drums.
Okay.
The thing is, I went to his website, okay?
Oh, no. Celebrity website.
I had to because I was looking, and I was like, I understand Ashley's thing here where she can look at them and kind of get confused.
Yeah, they do.
Bit.
I mean, in fairness, they do look a lot alike.
Yeah,
even though I hate to say this, I will put it out there, a lot of these white guys look alike.
Yeah, they do.
If you're just a regular guy with a large head and just a
dark
little bit
hair.
Of curly dark
yeah, yeah.
hair, you could be anybody.
And like a random kind of cut pattern.
Yeah. Poorly attired.
Yeah. But he has like this thing with New York. He says, New York, I am one with New York and New York is one with me. I grew up there. There's no escaping it. We're like Siamese twins. If you separate us, I'll die. But not New York.
Yeah. New York will make it.
Okay, so I went to his website. I'm like, I gotta find out what else is the link between these guys.
What more?
And like, he has the center of his homepage is his head, picture of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, then like a little line pointing to some beer. And apparently, he has this craft beer company he co-founded with Justin Hawks.
Oh God.
Based in Portland, Oregon, the beer comes in a flat top style can, which require the use of an opener called a church key to get in them.
This is so corny.
So he just made like put beer, delicious beer, into a can that's hard to open.
Yeah, why?
Should do that.
Because it's just like, you know, in Portlandia, the dream of the 1890s is alive and well in this jackass's beer can fantasy world.
What? Yeah, and then he has a production company called Reckless, and it's dedicated to its goal of fostering highly original concepts, synthesizing these ideas into captivating stories, and employing a consortium of creative talent to bring these stories to life.
Okay, what have they done?
Nothing. Yeah. And then it says the future...
Unlike all those other production companies, they're like, we're looking for tired old stories that don't mesh well with flat characters and no dialogue. Unsynthesized. Just running free.
The future is now, and Adrian is doing excellent things using technology. Because there was another link for technology. Like, what is he doing?
And he tweeted.
Then there was another thing. Where he has a thing called the Rec Room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a music space in my home. A gathering place for bands, friends, and fellow musicians to write, record, and perform.
No.
The goal of Rec Room TV is to share the music we make and put a face to the players.
You know what? And see, this is why a lot of women of our generation just can't find a dude. This is what's out there.
So I can see that they're both kind of, they're going to get cast in these roles. Yeah. I think Paul Rudd is a little bit funnier. He has more of a comedic side to him.
But I see the comparison.
I see the comparison.
I think that Ashley, is that correct?
Yeah.
If in Paul Rudd's characters are like this guy.
Yes.
That's where it's coming from. So yeah. Paul Rudd is playing this guy. He's serving this guy on film.
Right.
I like it, Ashley.
That's how. And also, I think that, you know, after looking at Paul Rudd and where he's going, he's like almost like a young John Cusack growing into a Matthew Broderick.
Please don't even go there with me on John Cusack. I don't know if we talked about this, but I had the misfortune of watching the film Poe, in which Cusack has become Nicolas Cage. It was terrible.
Oh, my God.
It was absolutely terrible. He needs to stop. But I have to say, in your old discount with his sister,
Joan Cusack,
she is Catherine O'Hara now.
Yeah.
She's on the up and up.
Yeah.
She's got movie deals coming out.
I know what I'm talking about.
You're right.
And to just finish this up here, then Adrian Grenier is like, I think, a young John Travolta growing into a Mario Lopez.
Who?
And he's a little crunchy like Woody Harrelson, but doesn't have Woody Harrelson's career. So I think, and then looking at his website, he's almost like a... Like in his personal life, he's a discount James Franco.
Yes.
Doing all these things, but
no one really cares.
But nobody really, yeah.
He'll probably even hear this. He'll see his name come up, be like, someone's talking about me.
But Adrian has a little bit of a sense of humor because there's footage of Matt Damon freaking out on him. They were filming a promo and it was like a fake thing.
Okay.
But he just like Matt Damon totally reamed him. And it was funny.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Maybe
so
he's all right,
so
then.
Thank you for that. But yeah,
Thank you, Ashley.
It was very complex.
Yeah, I like that. It got meta in there.
Yeah.
I just want to bring up one last thing before we close out. Just, you know, piece of information out there. We know times are tight if you're looking for work. Norway's Arctic Svalbard Islands is looking for a polar bear spotter for 3 weeks.
Really?
In July.
I want to go.
Yeah, I want to go to Oslo. We're planning on going to Oslo for Christmas. But if you like the outdoors and you have strong vocal cords, and we do. If so.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Norway might have a summer job for you. 3 weeks in the wilderness looking for polar bears.
Do you have to shout that they're there? Is that why you need the vocal cords?
I think you need to start shouting to keep them from eating you. Okay. I don't know what the... It says,
I don't think your vocal cords are going to keep a polar bear from eating you.
Are you going to be like,
oh, it's too loud.
There's a fucking polar bear.
The polar bear's going to hear it, and it's like, just...
No, we're joking about it, but it says you have to have a loud voice to scare the bears off. Why do I feel like just me yelling by myself is not going to make a hungry bear be like, you know
what,
F it. He's going to be like, yo, the food's calling to us.
Right.
Get the rest of the guys.
Now I have a really good, what is it? I can really hone in on it.
Yeah.
I hope it yells louder.
Yeah. It says there are 3,000 polar bears on this island, and there are only 2,400 people. And none of them want to do it. What's that tell you?
Oh, okay. So what are they? Do you have to just watch them?
You have to spot them.
And then yell to keep them away.
Yell to keep them away. The job starts July 8th, and you have to have previous experience with the outdoors.
Well, why 3 weeks?
Wait. Previous experience with the outdoors, good polar bear spotting skills. And a competence with firearms.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He says the successful candidate, the governor's office says the successful candidate likely won't have to use a gun. Just as long as they have a loud voice to scare off any bears.
Why don't they say, what if you're soft-spoken, but you're like a crack shot?
But you can see a bear like a mile away.
Yeah, you can shoot like nobody's business.
I don't know. I don't think they want people to go and just shoot the bears.
Yeah.
I have no idea whatsoever. But if you're, you know, if any listener out there is interested in that job, you can contact Helga Solly from the governor's office in the archipelago of Svalbard. And they will, you know, tell them, hey, you know it sent you.
Right. And they'll give you an extra bonus.
Do you know what I would do if I saw a polar bear?
I don't know.
I would probably pee and then run with frozen pee stuck in my leg. Like, they're not cute. They're not cute at all. I watched a documentary on them. They're big and they eat people in Norway.
But I just don't understand. Why yelling? Why don't they get horns? They give you a tambourine at least.
Oh, then you should get eaten. You go out there with a tambourine. I hope you get eaten. You know how I feel about tambourines. I just find that, you know what? If you apply for this job, people, just be sure to ask what happened to the last guy. That's all.
Perfect.
So that's all the time we have for today.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Hey You Know It. You can contact us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at heyyouknowit. Follow us on Tumblr, heyyouknowit.tumblr.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'll read it on the air regardless of content. And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass. We'd love to hear from you.
After that scintillating tale from the campfire.
Now I'm like exhausted from cracking up. I can't.
It's my favorite. So, I feel like I won.
When I lose my composure.
There's one episode
reading.
Where I lose my composure too. And then Greg was listening to it. He was like, ha, she got you. I'm like, God damn it. I've lost it. All right. What do you have?
Oh, no.